Preacher Bill does not need any introduction, but I did want to speak to the church for just a minute before letting him come to preach. And just wanted to thank everybody sincerely for the Pastor Appreciation Meal last week, the money, the gift cards, the cards, everything. I just wanted to thank you so much. Brandy asked if I was going to do cards, and I said, well, we can, but I said I kind of just want to tell them from my heart. Look at you and tell you, I appreciate you. I want you to know that. I really do. I thank God for what we have here at our church and talking with the Sunday school this morning. I just feel like the Lord really wants to use us and do things through our church, and I'm thankful for people that's willing to do that, and really thankful for Preacher Bill and Sister Sharon, what they do through the church. That's a lot of work, and I was talking to Brandy on the way in this morning. She had mentioned a week or so ago, she said, You might want to ask somebody maybe to preach for you after the wedding and everything. And I was like, I'll be good. And then this morning I told her, I was like, you know, I sure am glad that you suggested that. I guess your mind's in a lot of places. And when you're trying to study, and I know Preacher Bill knows this, you're trying to study, you're trying to be focused and everything. Sometimes it's harder than others. And I think this would have been one of those times, even with the extra hour. I don't know how much I noticed that gaining that this morning. I do know that this is probably would have been 12:15. My stomach said, you probably need to eat. And I was like, hold on. We'll get to that in a minute. But no, it's good to see you. And again, I do appreciate Preacher Bill, Sister Sharon. I appreciate how they live out what they preach and what they teach. And that's what our young people need to see. That's what the world needs to see from the church. But I'm thankful that you're all here, and I think it'd be good for us just to have a word of prayer before we ask Preacher Bill to come. And it's good to see the colors, and I was going to ask Brother Allen, if you would, to lead us in prayer this morning.
Our dear, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this another privilege to come back to your house. Lord, we thank you for the church. Thank you for each and every one in the church, and just pray that you guide each one of us in your word and your spirit. Your word, and Lord, we pray for each one of us to be guided by you this morning. Lord, we pray for all these that's sick and not able to be here, Lord, and yes, it's just a blessing to be here. Lord, we pray, Lord, for Brother Bill this morning as yes, he comes to bring the message. Lord, just anoint him with the word and this morning to just bring the message that you'd have him to bring. And Lord, be with Brother Jason and all this morning, and help us to just be in the position of where we can just hear the word and just apply it to our lives, if we can just worship you in spirit and truth this morning. Lord, we pray for all these objects of prayer that's been mentioned this morning. Lord, there's so many, Lord, that need your help. And Lord, these people that's victims of this hurricane, Lord, is still people that need help, Lord. And only you can help, Lord. And Lord, just guide us in all things. And we just appreciate all these people, Lord, and the prayers and everything that's went up for us. And just guide us this morning. We love you, Lord. Let's worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, go with us, guide us in all things, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I also wanted to, one last thing. We do have the updated missionary list. Sister Rebecca had prepared these for us, and I appreciate all the work that she does with that. And you look on the board back there, there's several to keep up with and everything, and I appreciate how she does that. But we do have several copies of our missionary list that's been updated, so if you'd like to get a copy of that. So, all right, if there is nothing else, Brother Bill, I invite you to come on.
And thank you, sir.
Again, I appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you. Thank you, brother.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning. I'm honored to be here and to be asked to be here up here this morning. The ministry right now is rolling well. We're still waiting for some schools to get back in. Just a quick update on that. We're still waiting for some schools to get back in session. Most of them have come back. We've been to Wilkes They didn't miss but a couple of days, and Ash County went back. Watauga's gone back. We're still waiting on Avery. They're supposed to go back this Wednesday, I believe. They're going back, and we've got a couple superintendents that are still we're trying to get some things worked out in a couple different counties. Superintendent's approval on the ministry to go into the schools into that county, just getting some stuff ironed out. Superintendents change quite often, so it's good to keep them in the loop of what's going on. So keep that in prayer. God's will be done for a couple of counties for the ministry to go in there. But if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in the book of Romans this morning, chapter number 7. The book of Romans, chapter number 7. And we're going to be at the very end of chapter number 7, and then in chapter number 8, through around verse number 15. So it's going to start in chapter number 7 of Romans, verse number 24, and go through chapter number 8, around verse 15. I'm going to read the verse number 24 and 25 in Romans chapter number 7, and then we'll go to the Lord with a short prayer, ask his blessing and anointing on the message today, and then I'll get into what the Lord's given me to bring to the church this morning and all those that might be watching on Facebook or wherever, listening to the message. But in Romans chapter number 7 and verse number 24 and 25, it's written, it says, "O wretched man that I am, exclamation mark, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you for feeding me from your word. But Lord, I don't rely on myself, Lord. I need my reliance is on you this morning. And Father, I pray that you would just take away any anxiety. Lord, let me not say anything that should not be said. But Father, I need your anointing on this message this morning. And Lord, we just ask that you would just use it to touch hearts, to draw us closer to you, Father, to save the lost. And Father, we sure do love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been parked on this scripture for a while in my devotional reading this week, and I just couldn't get out of it. And as I was praying for what the Lord would have me to bring this morning to help the church and also to have him touch the hearts of those that may not know Christ as their Savior, he brought me to the scripture and just kept me here this week. So I thought, Lord, this is what I'm supposed to bring. So you bear with me this morning as we go through this scripture. I see Paul here, and it was such a blessing a couple of years ago, and I know many of you know this, that I was honored to open in prayer at the event where my brother was sworn in to be a judge. And this was down off the mountain, down Morganton Hickory area, down in there. And as I was reading this scripture, I know it's not set with Paul in the court, but it came out to me that this was almost the setting. The judge was in the courtroom, and they opened the court, and the gavel struck. Court's in session. Paul's sitting there going, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of this death?"
Amen. Yeah.
As the judge sits there, opens the court, asks Paul, "Paul, do you have any last words to say to the jury before I sentence you?"
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Paul says these words, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with a mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Amen. Paul realizes, one of our greatest men in the Bible, he realizes that with our minds, I want to do the right thing, but I'm in this fleshly body, and it's just not working. Amen. The ones, I got a struggle going on within my body, between my body and my mind. My mind wants to follow the rules of God, what he set before us in the Old Testament, but my body, it just doesn't do what it's supposed to. It doesn't line up with that all the time. And Paul's having this struggle, and that's what I thought about today with the message today. It's just, if you want to look at a title for it, The Struggle with the Flesh. And that's what Paul's going through here today, and what he's brought to my attention in the scriptures today. As he's seated in the court, his defense is that the closing statement that he's given to the jury, seated in the tribunal, if you want us to put it that way, he's saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That judicial act of declaring one guilty, that condemnation, that dooming to punishment, Paul said, I'm, and we've read it in the Bible before, Paul said, "I'm the chief of the sinners. Right. If anybody's a sinner, I am the chief. I'm the one. I cannot do what I want to do, what my mind tells me I need to do." And he said, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I deserve punishment. But he says here, through Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of death and sin. I did just a quick hasty search this morning. I was looking. We all know the Ten Commandments. The book of Exodus chapter number 20 lists out the Ten Commandments for us, and we see those posted all over in various places, in yards and up on walls and framed and things like that. But I just did a little hasty search, and I was like, I wonder how many laws the Jews tried to follow. It came out to be 613 laws they tried to follow. There's no way. I mean, it's hard enough just to keep the 20 that are in, or the 12, 10 commandments that are in Exodus chapter number 20, but 613, there's no way. Paul said, there's no way I can do this. And funny enough, I looked at it, and there was 365 times it's mentioned things that we should not do. And I thought, well, that's kind of coincidental, one for each day of the year. But there was also 248 things that we're supposed to do to equal that 613. Paul says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from that law of sin and death." He said, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh," saying there's no way that I can keep all these things that God wants me to do in my flesh, because my flesh is a sinful flesh. Just like you and I, we're going to mess up daily. We don't dwell in sin, but we do have sinful acts, sinful thoughts, sinful words that we say. He said, there's no way I can get away from that in this fleshly body. But what he said the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, that he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, the sin is just a failing to hit the mark, an error, a bad action or evil deed. But Christ came and he condemned that sin in the flesh. He didn't possess sin. He didn't enjoy sin, nor allowed sin to use him in his life on this earth as Jesus Christ. Sin didn't affect him in any negative way. He was the sinless sacrifice that God sent his only begotten Son to pay that ultimate sin debt for you and I, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's that striving that you and I should have as Christians. For those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we know that we can't keep those 613 laws that the Jewish people tried to keep and that they had in the Old Testament. But to try to live righteously to our Heavenly Father, And I by no means stand up here righteous before you today, because I'm as Paul. I live in sinful flesh. I mess up. I sin. Not willfully, but in the flesh that happens to us. Not living in it or dwelling in it. But with this, trying to go back and look and be in God's Word, we come to Sunday school, we come to church, and we realize that there are things that we should strive for to please God. Striving for that righteous life without what Christ had done, mentioned in verse 3, that condemning sin, we could have no hope for righteous living. Because it says in verse 4 that the righteousness of the law, that it might be fulfilled in us that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. While walking with that after the Spirit, it means that we should try to do the things that please the Lord.
Amen.
That every single day with our words, with our actions, with our attitude, we can't be 100% righteous, but we could strive for a righteous lifestyle. And not righteous, just trying to come close to that mark that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ paid the price for on Calvary. But also with that, we can go back in our Bibles and read and study and pray and ask God to help us to be more righteous unto Him. And there's benefits that come with that, because we're getting ready to look at that here in just a little bit, that striving for that righteousness that we should have. And then all of a sudden we go into man's mindset. As we go through and see that death is the penalty for sin. And whenever I look at this, I see that it's not, we realize that there is a physical death that comes with this. But whenever we look at this death, it comes with a misery arising from sin. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And it goes and it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, so we're looking at the difference between here between death and life, that death is the misery from sin. We've all been there before salvation. Before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, we went about things in our own way. We just tried to do things the best we could. We didn't really have much of a guide, much of a leadership, other than maybe what we've been taught, maybe what our emotions would tell us to do, or maybe what others are doing. The carnal mind, that fleshly mind. But it says that those things that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, but they that are after those things of the Spirit. Whenever we look at this, there's a mindset that comes into this, mankind's mindset. The mind is just what one has in mind, the thoughts and our purposes. We can either be what is coming to here, carnally minded, or we can be spiritually minded. We can try to be that Christ would have us to be, or we can go about the ways of the world. The Bible tells us that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The two things that we're looking at here is being stuck in the misery of sin. Amen. For those that are lost, they don't have hope. They just go about that emotional leading, what they've been taught, the best they can. They've got no true guidance in their life. But those that are spiritually minded, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they can have that spiritual mind. It says that the carnal mind is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That life that we can have is a life real, a genuine life, a life active, vigorous, devoted to God, and blessed. That is the spiritual mind that we can have and the spiritual life that we can have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The carnal mind has no hope of having real life, a genuine life, an active life, a vigorous life. They can't devote it to God because they don't know anything about it. But through the Spirit, we can live a, we can have life. Let me put it that way. For to be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace. Church, I don't want to go through this world just, I don't want to have misery from sin in this world. And I was thinking about this and I thought about, could a saved believer still be carnally minded? If they don't yield to the Spirit, I believe 100% so. I believe that, you know, we've seen it before. We've seen people that have said, yes, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, but yet they have that carnal mind, that worldly mind set. They go about the ways of the world, the things of the world, not a spiritual life, but a carnal life, that misery from sin, we will experience that if we don't strive after that true life that can be provided through Christ our Lord and Savior. I want to live life to the fullest while I'm on this earth, and I hope you do too.
Amen.
I want to know God's will for my life. I want God, as has been mentioned before, I want God to hear my prayers. I want to live in the fullness of what the Lord has planned out for me. And I want that for you, and I hope you try to obtain that. But it goes with our mindset. We can either be carnally minded or we can be spiritually minded. Now, interestingly enough, we had a lesson, Mr. Jacob Wallace, when I saw him come in, I was like, well, he could probably relate to this. We taught this one time in his classroom. It was called The Matter of the Mind. And just to give us a little help today, what it was about was what's going on in our minds. And I've probably preached this sermon before, but there was this man, just to help relate to this, there was this man by the name of Frank Outlaw. Now, that wasn't his real birth given name. That's just what he came to be known as. But he wrote down this little saying that was so true with the words for to be carnally minded versus spiritually minded. He just wrote this little paragraph. It said, watch your thoughts because they become our words. Watch your words because they will become your actions. Watch your actions because they will become your habits. Watch your habits because that becomes your character. And watch your character because it becomes your destiny. And I thought that was so true with the things that we say and our attitudes and our actions each and every day, where our minds are at. We think about what's going on in our country and what's going on in the world right now. I've tried to not disconnect, but disassociate myself. And like I said, I'm not sitting up here more righteous than anybody. But I've learned that what I put in my mind is what will take over and come out in my life and character. Just like what Frank Outlaw outlined there in that small paragraph. So I've disassociated myself with a lot of things so that I can try to have that spiritual mindedness more and more as I've gotten older. I want to draw closer to the Lord. I want to know His every plan for what's going to happen. I want to be in His perfect will, and I want to do things that please Him, to receive blessings from Him. But I've got to watch what I put in my mind, and so do you, because if we don't be careful, we can be overcome and have that carnal mind. The things that we see and we do can either be for the Lord or they can be for the world, one of the two. And I started thinking about how we discern between the two. And I placed myself in a restaurant with, say, my wife sitting across from me, or just somebody that I'm having lunch or having dinner with or having breakfast with in a restaurant. And trying to think about the things that go into my mind. A lot of times I might sit there and I might not really pay attention to the person that's sitting across from me talking to me. I might be concerned about every other conversation that's going on in the restaurant around me, and I might be not thinking about or paying attention to the one that I need to be listening to.
Amen. That's good.
I put myself in this place, and I'm sure you've all been there. You might be talking to somebody or sitting in front of somebody, but there's so much other voices going on around you, the worldly voices going on around you, that you look at that person sitting across from you, and you might say, wait, what did you just say? What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. My mind was someplace else. It's in more of the worldly things, the carnal things, than the person I should be paying attention to and listening to. If we're not careful, the things of the world will take over and consume our minds. I'm really not worried about the election coming up. Sure, I did do my due diligence, and I studied and I researched. And before I casted my votes for each person on that ballot that was running for a certain office. And it took me a little while to do it, but I believe that's the true way to do it. It shouldn't be just, well, I'm going to vote for this because it's this way or this. Do your research. And I'm thankful that I do that, because whenever I go to the voting poll, I've got total peace about who I'm voting for. I've done my research. I've done my digging and my due diligence. And I'm voting for the person who I think is most capable for that position. But whenever we look at this, we can either be consumed by the world, have that, and I truly believe believers can have a carnal mind if you let that stuff take over.
Right.
But with that battle for the mind, there's great enemies in there. There's pride, lust, and covetousness, which are great enemies of our mind. But there's great allies of our mind too, and that's truth, purity, and humility. In conclusion with that mind part, you choose your thoughts. You can put your mind where you want it to be. Whenever I was studying, I just asked the Lord, because usually my mind's consumed with shopping and things that come up at home and things that come up here and there and everywhere. You know, oh yeah, I got to take care of this and I got to take care of this. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, help me prepare for this message. Get that mess out of there. And sure enough, He did. I had no thoughts of anything else for the past several days except for what I just said, Lord, just let me park in your word and you feed me through your spirit. And that's what I wanted. And it was so sweet. I thought about it. I told my wife, I said, I need to do this every day, because it'll take a lot of that stuff off our minds, the things that we don't need to be consumed with, but put the right things on our minds. So we choose our thoughts, and we also choose the emotions we act upon, and then we can make our choices by our will. Paul says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. As we go on, Paul gives a small, I like to call it a charge to us, because he says in verse 9 in chapter number 8, but ye are not in the flesh. If you're here and you're saved today, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I believe when I placed him in the court and the judge is up there and he's, what do you got to say for yourself? The jury's yours. Give your closing statement. I believe he turns from that back to all the people that were there with him in the courtroom, those that had followed him, those that had listened to his preaching and teaching. And I believe he turns around and he says to them, those that are saved and know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. It's kind of like a reminder to them, because sometimes we forget. I mean, I realize that we're in this world, but we don't need to be overcome by the world. I believe it's a reminder to these people that were with him, to those of us who are hearing this today, just remember, you're not in the flesh, but be in the Spirit. We can be consumed with the world if we want to, or we can be fed by the things of Christ and God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if it so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, the saved believers. Now, if any man have not the Spirit, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. To quicken is to cause to live, to make alive, to give life, to restore to life. Sometimes I think we forget that when we accepted Christ as our Savior, he hath quickened us. He's caused us to live.
Amen.
He's got a reason for us. He's got a purpose for us. He wants to make us alive, and he wants to give us life, but that's only through the Holy Spirit that Christ can give us when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Not only did he quicken us, church, he gives us that real life, that genuine life, that life active, vigorous, devoted to God, and blessed. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. That misery of sin. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. I got to thinking about who we're indebted to, who we're obligated to, whom our daily duty is bound to. And it's not to the world. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and I. He gave his life for us that we could have that life, that real life, that genuine life, that active life, that vigorous, devoted to God life, that blessed life. That's who we should be indebted to. That's it. When we think about being indebted, we think about credit card payments and house payments. That's our debt. Our credit card payments, our house payments, our car payments, those things that that's what we're indebted to, some of us on this earth. Now, just to put that in our mind, what a debt is, who we owe. But Christ died for you and I. We're indebted to him. We shouldn't be about that carnal mind, but we should be about that spiritual mind. Trying to please our Lord and Savior, trying to please God with the things that we do and we say with our attitudes each and every day. I say that many times, but it is the truth that you hear me say it with our hearts, with our minds, with our attitudes, our actions, and our words, but that goes on every single day. We're indebted to Christ to tell others about him.
Amen.
Each and every day, to lift him up with our with our words, with our actions, and with our attitudes. I took my father-in-law to a cattle sale. I drive him over there with the trailer on the back of his truck because he's not real comfortable in driving that rig. And we loaded up. We only had one bull to take over there this time, but we went over to Abingdon. And so there's always a man out there that just stops you, and he'll stop and talk to you for a little bit. He directs traffic over there. And as I pulled up to him, I had space to go. But he wouldn't let me go. He said, "You just hang on here just for a minute. I want to make sure you don't block your road." And I'm thinking in my mind, "I'm not going to block your road. There's plenty of room up there." And then he said, "We'll just sit here and talk for a minute." And I said, "Okay, Lord, you put him here for a reason." So we got to talking about this, that, and the other, about the storm and whatnot. But before I left, the Lord just impressed on my heart to tell him to have a blessed day. And it took no more than that. His whole attitude and his actions changed towards me. He went from the worldly things to godly things real quick. He may have just needed somebody to bring that to his remembrance one day, that we're spiritually minded, not carnal minded. But I told him, I said, "Sir," I said, he said, "You can go on up now. You can pull on up. You got plenty of room." And I looked at him in the eye and I said, "Sir, I hope you have a blessed day." And the words that came out of his mouth was, that's where we need to put our trust. He wasn't worried about the storm anymore, the damage that it did, cattle he may have lost or whatnot. He said, that's where we need to put our trust, is in Jesus Christ. And I said, thank you, Lord, just for letting me just lift you up just a little bit. Just a couple words that I didn't preach to him. I didn't get him the gospel or anything like that. But just Christian speech, attitudes, actions, or words every single day. I'm indebted to Christ. I need to try to lift him up and glorify him, and you do too, in everything that we do and are saying in our actions each and every day. When we get ready to walk out this door, we're going to go somewhere. Pray for those that cut you off, that bow up in front of you. For those of you that don't drive, you know, the person that's mean to you, the person that may say a bad word to you, mean words, I don't know what. But just try to lift up Christ each and every day, each and every moment, with the things that we do and we say. As we're looking at this and the debt that's paid, we're not debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify those deeds, little thing Paul says, if you mortify those deeds in the body, you shall live. Mortify just means to put to death, pretty much. To make it to die, to destroy it, to render it extinct. And I thought about those things, that we should put a lot of things to rest. Mortify those deeds of the body. You shall have that life vigorous, that life real, that life genuine, that life devoted to God and blessed. Those are the things that we'll have if we mortify those deeds of the flesh. Paul said, I'm not perfect. There's no way I can be. But there's a lot of things in our lives that we can just make extinct. We can destroy them, make it to die in our lives, those things that consume us, so that we can have that spiritual mind that our Lord and Savior wants us to have, to glorify Him in all things, to lift Him up daily, hourly, minutely, whatever it might be, to do those things. Let's wrap this up today, church. We go to the end of the chapter. And Paul says, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. There's no way that a lost person can battle the things of the world. I said that at the beginning. But through Christ, we can overcome many things that happen to us that we're surrounded by each and every day. If we choose to do that, if you ask the Lord for help, and I've done it so many times, church, and I can't emphasize enough that He's there for us if we just turn to Him. A lot of times our flesh will want to take care of it ourselves, react out of emotion. But to be spiritually minded and to try to take care of that, Christ will help us with each and every situation, each and every word, each and every attitude that we have each and every day. Our emotions, Christ will help us with that if we allow Him to that. But a lot of times we have that reflex reaction to things and just totally dismiss what the Lord could help us with through that situation, whatever it might be. But if we look to Him, I'm still not perfect. But I try hard just to ask Him, Lord, just help me. Just help me with this. Just help me with this. Whatever it might be. Instead of just reacting out of the flesh. And I realize that the Lord's never let me down. And I'm sure if you've probably asked the same thing in many situations. But Paul said, I'm the chief of all sinners. And he said, you know, wretched man that I am. I want to do what's right, but I can't. But Paul says verse number 37, he said, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the law of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord." He said we can become conquerors if we just allow the Lord to work. And I'm going to ask the ladies if they'll come up one or two real quick. Church, as we wrap this up today, let's just come to our feet. I'm just going to give a moment of invitation. The Lord laid this on my heart today. Just a couple things I'm going to bring out during the invitation. Come to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed.